The last time I went for a physical to see the doctor, I came home and Jennifer and I had a conversation that we've had many times in the past, although it went a little bit differently than it normally does. Jennifer asked me, "Did he tell you this time to lose any weight?" Because that's a pretty common thing that my doctor tells me. And so I thought for a tick, and I said, "He did not say those words." And Jennifer said, "Boy, that's really strange." And so for about an hour, Jennifer walked around and continued to do things around the house and continued to make supper. She said, "That's really strange that one time out of the 3 years you've been seeing this guy, that he wouldn't say that you needed to lose weight." So after about an hour, I said, "Jen," I said, "He did not say those exact words, you need to lose weight. He said you need to exercise more and eat less." True, he didn't say those exact words. But there's something about us that we always want the easy way out. We're always in search of something that'll make it easier for us. In search of the magic potion, the fountain of youth, the way to look younger without any effort. And we know what works: portion control and more exercise. It's been proven time and time again. Yet, as the Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is not a new phenomenon. As you can see from the passage in 2 Kings, this thing happened 2,800 years ago. This kind of searching for the magic cure. You see, Naaman is a general, a top general, like Patton or MacArthur to the king of Aram. Aram is modern-day Syria. Syria, which has been in the news lately because of their protracted, prolonged civil war. And Naaman is one of the highest guys in the military for Aram. And Aram is a powerful nation. Is a powerful nation with lots of resources and lots of money. The best doctors live there. And Naaman is used to foie gras and the best in healthcare. He's used to giving orders, and the well-oiled machine of Aram's army does what he says. Nothing is unavailable to him. Money can buy everything, and in Aram, sky is the limit. So Naaman is determined to buy his healing from Israel as well. He's got this disease, and the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what it is. It uses the word leprosy, but it's not what we know as modern leprosy. It's some sort of skin disease. And Naaman's solution is to buy his way into Elisha healing him. He hears that there is a prophet in Israel who can do these remarkable healings. And we pass over the important part of the passage here, because it's very important that we remember all the stuff that Naaman brings in verse 5 to heal his leprosy. He's trying to buy his way into a healing. We're told in the passage that he left taking with him 10 talents of silver. Well, that doesn't sound like anything to us. We don't know what a talent is. But a talent of silver is 75 pounds, one talent. So 10 talents of silver is 750 pounds. And 750 pounds in today's prices, if I did the math right, is about $1.5 million worth of silver. And that's just the silver. Then he brings in the gold and the 10 garments. So this is big business, friends. Naaman thinks he's got it made. This is the worldly, the non-Christian part of the story. If you have enough money in the bank, if you have enough privilege, if you have enough power, you can get what you want in Naaman's day and in our day. But what about the poor widow with barely 2 pennies to rub together? Or what led people to Elisha's doorstep and much later to Jesus' doorstep? It wasn't the diploma that they had on their walls, nor was it the 7-figure gifts. Nor was it the bonus check from the Fortune 500 company. No, the people who came to Elisha and Jesus were more often than not at the end of their rope, desperate and poor, seeking a last resort cure and healing. They were at the end of the passage. They were at the end of their path. They had nowhere else to turn. Have you ever heard of the Latin American tradition of Los Posadas? Los Posadas is a Christian tradition. Posadas means shelter. And children of the neighborhood in Latin America, every December, take candles, and sort of like Halloween, they go out and they reenact the ritual of Mary and Joseph trying to find shelter in Bethlehem. And they go from house to house for 9 nights, searching for a place to give birth to Jesus. And for 8 nights, the family is rejected. Mary and Joseph are rejected because, what? Bethlehem is full, right? You remember that from the Christmas story. And the ritual goes that when the children knock on the door, the person behind the door says, "I cannot let you in, for you are a stranger, and therefore you might be a scoundrel." On the 9th night, the last night of Las Posadas, the innkeeper sets them up with shelter, and the procession breaks out into food and dancing and song and celebration. And the hope in the Las Posadas story for you and for me is that healing cannot be bought, access to God cannot be purchased, but hospitality still wins out. It may take 8 or 9 nights, it may take persistence, but hospitality and graciousness wins out in the end. Notice that Elisha does not take even a penny for the healing of Naaman. All he says to Naaman is, "You have to wash 7 times in the Jordan River." To Naaman's way of thinking, this is obscene. The Jordan is a small river. There are much greater rivers in Aram where the water is wide and deep and runs blue and clear. And Naaman wants the one miracle cure. He wants the one infomercial. He doesn't want to do all this fussing about with dipping 7 times into the Jordan River. He's not used to people saying no to him and telling him he's got to do things in a different way. He's the one who always calls the shots. And he definitely doesn't want this God making demands on him, the great general Naaman. Naaman wants one answer. He wants one answer to poverty, one answer to violence, one answer to the high divorce rate, one answer to school shootings, one answer to healings. And when Elisha doesn't give him the one answer that he wants, he's ready to reject it. Naaman does not want Elisha to muddy the waters with complications. "Just give me the answer and let's get on with it." Sound familiar? Does to me anyway. And Naaman is ready to walk away. He's ready to say goodbye forever to this hole in the wall, little portion of the country, this little dribble of a creek. And the servants, as Naaman is storming away, they plead with him. They said, look, you brought all this money and you brought your horses and your chariots out. You were ready to pay all this money for this cure. And now you won't even try it? It's something so simple to dip 7 times in the river. Yet note the humbling that Naaman has to go through. Not only can he not buy his healing, he's got to, if he's going to go down into the river, think about this. Naaman's the greatest general Aram has. He's surrounded by servants. He's got to take off his helmet, and he's got to take off his armor, and he's got to strip down to his underclothing, and he's got to go into the river. And in the Middle East back then and even today, that is a sign of great humiliation, being seen in front of other people, vulnerable like that. And Naaman doesn't want to do that. He's never been without his armor. He's never been without his sword in public. He's always making an appearance. How often we are humbled by God. God tells us what we need to do, and we think, "You know what? I already know better." We want to take that magic pill and be healed. We want to gain wholeness for nothing. And we learn that God has another plan. Do you ever read in the newspaper, "Dear Abby"? I'm always amazed by some of the, more often than not, some of the people who write in. They always say something about, they write in about their problems, and a lot say to Abby, "Please don't tell me to try A, B, or C, because those things won't work." And I always think, how do you know that won't work? maybe that's exactly the solution that will work, but God is holding out on you because you have to humble yourself to Him. Did you ever think of the reason the problem hasn't been solved is because you already think you've solved it? Or you already think you know what won't solve it anyway. You already think A, B, and C won't work. I can't try those. Maybe the solution is what you cannot try. And so Naaman lets go of his ego because it gets in the way of his healing. And you and I are guilty of the same sin day after day and week after week. I have a friend who does business consulting, and he says that when he consults with big companies, he has to charge them a lot more than smaller companies because the bigger companies want consulting to be worth money, right? If he doesn't charge a lot, then somehow his product that he offers isn't as good as the guy down the street. It's the same program. It's the exact same program, but he loses business if he does not charge more. And in our way of thinking, in our modern way of thinking, higher cost means more bells and whistles, means higher quality. You go out and you buy a car for a lot of money, it's higher quality than the junker you pick up in the junkyard. And the same with this consulting way. And if you apply that thinking to the church, there's something in human nature that says we would rather pay a few thousand dollars for an expensive therapist or for Dr. Phil's books or Montel's infomercials to cure our problems than to overhear the truth of faith offered to us free every Sunday morning. And if what I say is offered freely, without cost, then it must be, what's the word? Cheap? And cheap can mean inexpensive. What else can it mean? Dad, cheap plastic, right? Cheap plastic means lousy. Cheap means something that's not very good quality. And that's what people think. If you give them something for free, it's got to be lousy. So Naaman thinks that this free healing, seven times dipping in the river, is going to be a lousy healing. Culturally, we've abandoned the disciplines of Christianity and then blame Christianity for being out of touch. In the UK, the United Kingdom, they found a neat way around this, a very interesting way around this. They have hired pastors to teach people how to pray and how to talk with people just about issues of family life and problems they might be having around the lunch hour. They've hired pastors to show up at lunch every day, Monday through Friday, and to talk to people. And the companies have found it more beneficial cost-wise to have a chaplain on staff to eat lunch with people, with the employees, at these large banks and stock trading firms than to bring in a consultant to reduce stress every 3 months or so. And the pastors offer continuous sessions over sandwiches to seriously teach people the disciplines of prayer or how to deal with problems at home or how to balance a checkbook. It's funny, isn't it, that we have chaplains in our hospitals and in our prisons, but not in our factories or in our banks. Maybe we'd just keep people out of the hospital and prison if we had more chaplains in our workplaces. Just a thought. Stephen P. McCutcheon, a Presbyterian pastor and author, when he is preaching on this passage about Naaman's healing, writes this. He writes, "Do you want to cure your marital problems or problems with other people? Relationship problems. 90% of your relationship problems don't require expensive therapy. I can give you a simple formula for free. Each day from today forward, without fanfare, choose to do something nice for your spouse or for the person you have trouble getting along with. And each day without fail, find 20 minutes to seriously listen to that other person. And twice a day, consciously give thanks to God for this human partner And twice a day, consciously give thanks to God for this human partner who has had the grace to put up with someone like you." That's pretty good. Of course, we don't want to do these things. They cost too much in terms of our behavior or changing our behavior. They wouldn't work here. I can think of a million reasons not to do this. It sounds, well, like washing in a muddy creek that the locals call the Jordan River. You see, God is gracious enough to us to decouple healing from resources. God is gracious enough to sever healing from wealth. And it's up to us whether we submit and go down into the water or if we take our toys and decide to go home. And that is the difference between a miraculous and unexpected healing and more of the same. Amen.